This podcast contains explicit material. Listener discretion is advised. Thanks for joining us for this mini text episode of The Joy of Text. I'm Rebecca Honig-Friedman. I'm here with Dr. Batsheva Marcus, president of JOFA and clinical director at Mies Women's Health, and Rabbi Dov Linzer, Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Kovavei Torah. So Rabbi Linzer, what text have you brought for us today?
So I brought a passage at the end of the Tractate of Kiddushin. It's about marriage, and at the end it deals with the concerns of yichud, which are a man being in private with a woman who's not his wife, and how the rabbis forbade that because that could lead to them having sex. In halachic discussions of that, the Talmud enters into a major section of agadic, you know, stories, not halachic analysis, about how susceptible men are to the temptations of any woman that passes in front of them. And I wanted to read two passages, one brief one to give a sense of the general tone and of those stories, and then a story that comes at the end that pushes in an opposite direction. Okay, so here's the first story. Rabbi Akiva havimit lotzeitz bovri aver. Rabbi Akiva would mock people who would succumb to sexual sin and who would sin sexually. Yom echad idmi leisatan ki itetab rei shikla. So one day...
This is Rabbi Akiva. Okay, got it.
One day, right, the great love story with his wife and the whole thing. Okay, anyway, so one day the Satan, you know, appeared to him as a woman at the top of a tree. And he was so overcome with lust, Rabbi Akiva, that nakte lidikle v'kasakval, as he was running up the tree in order to, you know, have sex with this woman. Kimata lepaga de dikle shavke. Then when he got to the middle of the tree, the Satan sort of let go, you know, sort of stopped the whole ruse. And he said, if they had not announced up in heaven that you are the great Rabbi Akiva and that I should like leave you alone, you know, your life would have been worth nothing. Like you would have fall into this terrible sin. So here's this crazy story, nobody, about just saying that even the greatest of rabbis, look how, you know, and they can, you know, think that they're above all of this, and look how, you know, they could be succumbed to temptation. That's story one. That's basically how all the stories go in that passage. Do you want to say something at this state? Looks like you need to say something.
I hate these stories.
Okay, but wait.
No, because I feel like they just promulgate this idea that men are not in control of their sexuality.
Right.
And
also that women...
I'm not suggesting that the sexuality...
And that women represent constant sexual temptation.
And that women are just sort of ready for the... The
right. Like, right. What was the
she
Satan
was
saying?
Gonna have sex with
was
him
she
when
beckoning
he
him?
Right.
That's exactly.
But she could have just pushed him off, stepped on his fingers.
In all of these stories, like you never hear the woman, right? It's like, if the man wants to, he's just going to go have sex with her. Like, where is she in this conversation, right? It's all very exactly.
Right, the whole premise that men are completely slaves to their sexual urges
is
so irritating, and I feel like it permeates so much of our ideology in the Talmud, in the Torah,
right.
and in the day schools now too. Like, it just makes me so angry because I just don't think it's true. That's not to say that sex drive could not be strong, but I just feel like they're painting it as something that it just isn't.
Right. So that is
like you're hypnotized and you can't do anything else.
That is exactly the whole point of all these stories, and to explain why it's really important to abide by these laws of yichud because you'll succumb to it. So with that in mind and with your whole critique in mind, right, which I share, listen to this, which is like the last story, and it's one of the longer stories. So I won't read it. I'll translate it. Okay, so it says, Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, every time that he would fall on his face, meaning he would do tachanun, he'd say his petitionary prayers at the end of the morning services, Haviyamar, he would say the following, Harachman yatzilenu mi'etzer hara, God should save us from the evil inclination, which in this context can only mean sex, okay, the sex drive. So one day, his wife overheard him saying this, and she said, I don't get it. For a number of years, he has not wanted sex with me. So why is he saying this? So one day, he was there learning in the garden. So she put jewelry on herself, and she walked in front of him once or twice, you know, and obviously somehow he did not recognize her. And they hadn't been intimate in years,
so why would he recognize her?
All he had to do was put on jewelry, and he had no idea who she was. So he said to her, who are you? So she said, I am Haruta. Apparently this was the name of a prostitute, okay? Also might come from the word like free or whatever. Anyway, that I just came back today from overseas. So he said, propositioned her. And she said to him, if you can get for me that pomegranate that's at the top of that branch, notice again the imagery going up to the top of a tree, right? Then I'll have sex with you. So he jumped up and he grabbed, took the pomegranate and he brought it to her. And then, now it never says what happened. Did they have sex? Did they not have sex? Presumably they did. And then it says, when he came to his home, his wife was sometime afterwards, his wife had now changed back and she was...
Took off her jewelry.
Took off her jewelry.
Totally.
And she was, and she was firing up the oven. So the oven has now, you know, is burning. And so he went in and he threw himself into the oven. So she said to him, what's going on? So he told her what had happened. This and this is what happened. A woman prior, I propositioned her. She said to him, that was me. He didn't pay attention to her. And then she gave him the proof.
Again.
She gave him the proof. She said, like, yes, here's the pomegranate you gave me. So he said, even so, even though it seems I didn't sin, I still intended to sin. And all of the days of that tzaddik, of that righteous person, he fasted until he died from that death. And it's not clear if it's the death out of fasting or the death of fire, but anyway, that is the story.
That is even a worse story.
You think it's a worse story?
I don't think you're getting
the subtext. Why do you think it's a worse story?
I think it's a worse story. Well, all the background is a worse story, right? So here's this couple who aren't having sex. Now, clearly, the sex drive is not totally dead in the two of them, because as soon as she got herself together and was at all enticing to him, he wanted to have sex.
And every day in Tachanun, he was saying, God should save me from my sexual desires.
So what's going on in that relationship?
Right.
The thing is, like, there's so many problems in that relationship, right? I know this is so absurd because I'm putting all my 21st century sensibilities onto it. And I realize that's absurd, so don't criticize that. But, you know, they hadn't talked about it. She wasn't trying to get back together with him. He wasn't saying there's a problem in this relationship. We should be having sex. He was so easily susceptible at that point,
right,
that somebody had to, like, look at him sideways, and he was, like, all excited to have sex, theoretically. And then he felt terrible about that rather than embracing it and saying, oh, my God, this is an opportunity for the two of us to get back together again.
Well, he's too busy putting his head down saying Tachanun to look at his wife.
Exactly.
He's not paying any
attention. He's not having any conversations with his wife. So I actually think that's the point of the story. I think that after all of these and saying that, like, that the temptation is ever present, well, what's the solution to that? Is the solution to completely try to subvert the sex drive and never have sex at all, not even have sex with your wife, right? Or is the solution to find licit
fantasize
outlets? Okay.
You know, like,
we'll get to
let
that.
Let your wife know. Let your wife, like, your wife now is, like, all dolled up and propositioning you.
Right.
And that's, like, a nice thing.
Right, exactly. So the point is that here what it's contrasting is men who are being tempted with these women outside of marriage to a guy who is so extreme that he has his sex drive, but he so much is denying that part of him that he's not bringing it into his relationship with his wife.
Right, but they could have had to have a happy ending.
Well, it's the idea that the sex drive is considered this evil thing that needs to be
tamed and controlled.
Tamed and controlled,
right.
Or worse than tamed and controlled. Not tamed and controlled.
It has to be removed.
It has to be excised.
But that's the whole point. Yeah. You can't excise it. So rather than trying to deny it, bring it into the relationship at home. I think that's the point of the story. And this is the one story.
You think that's the point of the story?
Yeah. It's like, look. Like,
but if that was the point of the story,
yes,
then it would have had a happy ending. If that was the point of the story, it would have said, wow, now my eyes are open and
no,
I realize.
No, it's an object lesson. Look what happens to somebody who is against their own sexuality that they can't even, express it within the marital context.
I don't know. What do you think?
Or that sexuality is so tempting it can just completely ruin the best of
right
men. Like in the first story, the Satan tells Rabbi Akiva, oh, I went easy on you because they told me you're such a great man, which is in itself a crazy little twist to the story,
right.
that I think it's actually speaks to this whole idea that men need protection from their own desires, which I think to our modern sensibilities sounds very
right, but I think that the
difficult
look, I remember many years ago, I was teaching a class about, where the Talmud is so concerned about men looking at women and having sexual thoughts and so on. And I remember a guy in the class said to me, he said, why does it matter where I get my appetite as long as I come home to eat? You know, and I thought that was like, you know, such a great line. Now, of course, it's not exactly the Talmud's perspective, but so the Talmud is not going to say that men are not regularly sort of tempted, you know, that is what the Talmud is saying. But the question the Talmud is saying is like, fine, the way I read the story, bring it home. If you try to deny that in the home, then you're going to get yourself, that's going to lead to your sinning and you're throwing yourself in a fire and whatever.
Right. So when he did, when his wife was pointing out to him that he actually did bring it home, he doesn't accept that.
Okay, so that, again, he's not the hero of the story.
Right.
He's the object lesson
of
the story.
I hope she went on to find a great sexual partner.
I think the question is how you read it. I read we're supposed to learn from his mistakes. He's not going to change overnight. He can't deal with his sexuality in the context of the marriage.
Okay.
And therefore, it's just going to lead to destruction.
Well, this was certainly an interesting episode. No, I hear you, but
could I just also point out that in this story, the woman actually has a voice. In all these other stories, the women outside of marriage are just temptations. They're Satan, right? It's like a man sees an attractive woman on the street and says, Satan, right? You know, the Satan becomes the woman and the woman becomes Satan, right? But in the home story, she's got a name, she has a voice, there's a relationship.
Again, because you're reading it in a positive way. When I read it in a negative way, it's like she has a voice and a story and leads to her husband's death. So, do I mean?
Well, he brought it about. Yes. Okay.
So I didn't see her as being at fault. I think about the Tamar story of like that, you know, you trick a man, you pretend you're a prostitute and trick a man, and like somehow there's
nothing
wrong
with that.
Right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. It is the Tamar story, right?
Wait.
Because she says, before I have sex with you, you have to give me something. He gives her something to have sex, and then she produces it to prove, and there's the going into the fire, right? Tamar is going to put in the fire. And in all of those cases, it is the active woman who is
the
man is being irresponsible, and it's the woman
saves
the day and saves the marriage.
Except in this story, she doesn't save the day. That's that's fascinating to me because the Tamar story is such a meaningful story to me for that reason. So, but anyway, okay.
I'm so glad
you enjoyed that.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Sure.
Edifying.
No, it's great. It's great. It's just, you know, any kind of response, provoked response is a good one.
There you go.
If you have questions or comments you'd like to share with us, you can submit them anonymously at www.thejoyoftext.org. This episode was recorded by Mike Hurst and produced and edited by me, Rebecca Honig-Friedman. You can tune into The Joy of Text on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or with any podcast app. Thanks so much for listening.